בטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב הנה מה טוב לילה 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 לילה.
Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
Well, we're continuing in our series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon, the series, The Wisdom of Solomon. He's got some good wisdom. A lot of you really gave me some feedback regarding last week's message. Powerful word for us all. I want to first share a little bit of a story, tell you. I don't think I've ever really shared much of this kind of era of my life, just a tiny little snippet of something. I remember when I was entering my freshman year of high school over at Sprayberry High School in East Cobb. Yes, a Sprayberry grad, loved my time there in general. But I got to tell you, I remember when I entered into Sprayberry as a ninth grader, it was a little bit different. Why? Well, Sprayberry at that time had around 2,500 students. That's a lot of kids, 2,500, just over four grades. But there was just one big issue for me coming in as a freshman. And that issue is our family had just moved up to the north side of Atlanta from the south side to be closer to Beth Hillel. So it was, if you will, around the era that we built this building that we're in right now. And so our family moved up to the north side the summer after my eighth grade year. And so the issue was that I literally did not know one soul in the school. Now, I know a number of you have been through that, some of you many times. Some of you have heard before of stories of like you changed schools six, seven times going to school or even more. But for me, I hadn't. I had kind of gone along my track, and so I had been in a pretty stable, secure schooling environment where I knew everybody, and everybody kind of knew me. So I didn't know one soul in the school coming into my freshman year. Also, it was complicated for the fact that I was a year ahead in school. So I was just barely a little over 13 years old into the school. So I was the youngest student out of 2,500. And I was, believe it or not, at the time, an introvert. And my voice was still changing. Remember, I was a year younger than anybody else in the school. I hadn't hit my growth spurt yet. And I was a Messianic Jew. Oh my gosh, come on, y'all. You add up all those things together. And dude, let me tell you, it was isolating. It was isolating. I was in a category of one of one. There was nobody else like me in like a number of different categories. Oh my goodness. I felt profoundly, deeply, intensely, overpoweringly alone. I wonder if any of you have ever felt lonely at one time or another in your life. I didn't ask for a raise of hands. Some people raised their hands. I love that. We got an honest congregation. I love that. Yeah. Hey, listen, I understand that. I have. I've felt very profoundly lonely before. And it's certainly not relegated to only high school days. It can affect people their entire lives and sometimes in different seasons of our lives. But I got to tell you, I very much felt all by myself. Job chapter 19, please. Job 19. Now, you all know me well enough to know that I'm not going to simply gloss over this or disregard these feelings of feeling alone. You know, there may be some clergy out there that are just always, you know, very Pollyanna-esque, and like everything is just fine, and it's mountaintop to mountaintop, and if you have feelings of being alone or loneliness, just disregard it, or just, you know, you're just a terrible weakling and garbage like that. I hate that kind of stuff. You know, that's not where I am. That's not how I feel about things. And you know what? When I examine the scripture, that's not how God feels about such things. Why? Because there are some seasons in life that we go through that where we are indeed very alone. That we are indeed very alone. In the case of Job, he had so many calamities that happened to him that he sure felt pretty alone. How alone did Job feel? I'm glad you asked. Job chapter 19, verse 14. Here's what Job said. Talking about a guy who felt lonely, alone. My relatives have gone away, and my close friends have forgotten me. My house guests and my maidservants consider me a stranger. I have become a foreigner in their eyes. I call my servant, but he does not reply, though I beg him with my own mouth. My breath is repulsive to my wife. I am loathsome to my children. Even young children despise me. When I stand, they speak against me. All my close friends despise me. Those I love have turned against me. Oh my gosh, yeesh, that's tough, isn't it? That's rough. Oh man, I feel for old Job. It's like, wow, Rabbi, what an uplifting opening scripture. Yeah. I gotta tell you, man, I read that and I just go, oh my gosh, that's just rough. And it's pretty legit how the dude feels. Honestly, for me, the line that's to me most pitiful is when he laments that his wife is repulsed by his breath. It's like that. That's really, wow. That made the Bible, y'all. Think about that for a minute. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, what's going to happen when you get to heaven? Are you going to be introduced? Hey, I'm Job. Hey, Job. Ooh. A little on the halitosis there. What's up with Job? Man, even my wife is repulsed by my bad breath. That's rough. This dude felt very, very, very alone. Hear me on this, Mishpacha. Hear me. There are legitimate seasons in our lives where circumstances are such that we feel very lonely. That's not wrong to admit. Think about Messiah Yeshua himself. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked some of his friends to keep watch with him while he prayed. He lamented that they fell asleep. Could you not keep watch for me for just a few hours? Boy, he felt alone. Then what happened? Once captured, then all the disciples abandoned him. And one of his best buds, Peter, denied knowing him three times. Then on the tree of sacrifice, when the sin of the world was laid upon him, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that God understands when we feel this way sometimes. He gets it. He really gets it. It's interesting. Did you know that you can feel alone even if you're in a crowd? Some people mistake that and they think, how can I feel lonely if I'm in a crowd, or alone if I'm in a crowd? Some of you here today may feel alone, although there are many people here. You can feel, some of the most lonely people I've ever counseled in my office are married people. Sometimes people think that if you're married, that you'll never feel lonely again because you're married. And it's like, wow, sometimes when you're married and if there's some distance between you and your spouse, it can feel profoundly lonely. Because you have your spouse, your mate, and yet you don't in some ways. What we feel inside is not always determined by what is around us. Loving people, well-intentioned people even, may tell us that they're with us, and we still might feel lonely. We still might feel alone. I gotta say that I really think that this is a pandemic. And it's so interesting too, because when I say it's a pandemic, people don't ever talk about this. A lot of people don't even like to admit it or acknowledge it. Sometimes people try to make you feel badly for feeling alone. Or maybe even you judge yourself for it. Why do I feel so lonely? I don't. A lot of people are very self-critical even sometimes when they feel alone or feel a little bit lonely. We won't read it, but if that's you, I encourage you to read it sometime. Mark it, Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is very interesting and unique. Unique among the Psalms. Why? Because a lot of Psalms are crying out to God and then recognizing how God answers you. You know, that's the theme of a lot of the Psalms, right? Oh God, I'm in trouble. Oh God, I'm hurting. Oh God, this and that. I feel whatever. Enemies are approaching me. I feel alone. Whatever it is. But God, you restore my soul. God, you bless me. God, you okay? And it's kind of like a lot of the Psalms have this theme of this issue and then the resolution. Psalm 88 is not like that. Psalm 88 is written by one of the sons of Korah. It's a full chapter, and the whole chapter is a expression of crying out to God and feeling very, very alone. The whole chapter. And it's like, well, you know, how does it resolve? Here's the last sentence in Psalm 88. You ready? Darkness has become my companion. That's the end of the chapter. Whew, that's a doozy, isn't it? My goodness, that's pretty rough too. See, friends, God knows well and recognizes that it is not always easy. He sees and knows and understands that there are seasons in our lives when we feel profoundly alone. And I got to tell you, he does not seek to dismiss such feelings. They're expressed frequently in Scripture, and they're placed even within the Psalms as essentially a lament. However, he knows well that this view is only a partial perspective, and that understanding the full perspective will change how we look at things profoundly. And this is one of the reasons I believe, why he gives us his word to teach us. See, this is why people talk about, positive messages or, feel good stories, or God gave us the book for a reason, to help us in our daily lives. Someone say amen. So then when we're in these situations or we're in these seasons where we're feeling profoundly alone, and not just because it's all in our head, but because we are alone, maybe because we're struggling with something and no one else knows about it, or feelings of loneliness, even if we're surrounded by other people, it doesn't matter. When we're in these situations or we're in these seasons, we'll have a fuller perspective of the truth. You know how sometimes you all know this. Sometimes when people are going to therapy because of issues that they might have or things that they might be dealing with, oftentimes the truth is that they don't have the full perspective and they're only looking at one side of the coin. God gives us both sides of the coin here, and it's both sides. It's not just one side. I read you Job. Read Psalm 88. You'll see there's clearly it's both sides of the coin he's going to tell us about here. It's not pretending that we don't feel lonely sometimes. God knows we do. God knows we do. But here is the truth. Oftentimes in life, all is not what it seems. I want to say that again, beloved. Some of you need to hear this today to be encouraged. Oftentimes in life, all is not what it seems. 1 Kings chapter 19, please. Very interesting. Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet. Elijah thought that he was all alone. He thought that he was all alone, no question about it. How do I know? He said it. He said it explicitly, not even implied. And, you know, it was clear. He complained to God about it, and he clearly felt lonely and all alone. 1 Kings 19:14. Elijah's talking to God and says, I have been very zealous for Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts, just like we sang about. He said, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and slain your prophets with a sword, and I alone am left, and they are seeking to take my life. Wow. Okay, there's Elijah. He's talking to God. He's saying, hey, God, man, I tell you what, I've been faithful to the Lord of hosts. I've been faithful to you, God. I've been real faithful to you. But, you know, good grief, the children of Israel, they're just living life terribly and sinfully, and they've killed all the prophets. And God, I guess it's just me. I'm the only one left. I'm it. In the whole world, I'm the only one. It's just me. Just me. But God knew better. How did God answer him? Skip down to verse 18. God tells Elijah, yet I have preserved 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouth has not kissed him. Woo, okay. That is what we call a little correction, a little extra information there. God is telling Eliyahu that he is very much not alone. He feels alone. Do you get this? His perspective was not complete. His perspective was only a partial perspective. This is what happens a lot of times, especially when people feel lonely or alone. They're looking at her from the lens that only has part of the picture. It's like, what was that game show? Was it called Concentration or something? I don't remember the game show that the picture was slowly revealed as people as more and more blocks were taken out of the picture, and you could see more and more of the picture. And when could you guess what was in the picture? I'll tell you, couldn't guess it at first. Just a couple blocks came off, and what is the picture? And no one would ever guess. You'd go to the next round of the game show. Some of you know the one I'm talking about. Pretend like you do. Make me feel better, okay? Elijah feels alone, but all is not how it feels at that moment. See, and that is very telling for us. When we feel alone or lonely, we are not really seeing the full truth. We are not really seeing the full perspective. Elijah felt so profoundly alone, and yet God had thousands of others. Thousands of others. And this is what's interesting, Jack. He said, I'm all alone. So the guy's clearly feeling lonely, right? And first thing God does is he answers him in that very moment and says, no, buddy, I love you, Elijah, Eli, whatever he called him. You're not alone. There's 7,000 others just in Israel there that have not bowed to Baal. And it's like that's part one of God's answer. But what's very interesting is the very next verse, right after God says, listen, you're not alone. There are 7,000 or more. And then the very, very, very next verse is when Elijah comes and finds and places his mantle on Elisha. Elisha. The very next verse. So the very next verse, Elijah begins the relationship with the person who would become his protege. The person that he would mentor for the rest of his life. His buddy and his companion that he would teach and show. And the person who would actually become even a more powerful prophet than he. He met him and placed his mantle on him in the very next verse, right after him feeling so very alone. How interesting is that? It's very profound. We only see things unclearly as through a clouded mirror. And then you're talking about Elisha, the protege of Elijah. Elisha, Elisha, man, this dude was something. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha, even more so, I think, had the big picture. Really remarkable. This is actually one of my very favorite passages in Scripture. I just think it's just completely amazing and cool. It's when the Syrian army was battling Israel, really, and the king of Aram, the king of the Syrian army, heard that Elisha was essentially prophesying against him and prophesying for Israel. And so the king of Syria said, we're going to go get that boy. We're going to go get that Elisha. Let's get the army coming. We're going to get this guy. And so they brought the entire army of great significance to seize Elisha, just to seize him. And so they brought this entire army coming up to Elisha and what seemed like just a handful of Israelites. And then we pick up the story, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. This story is wild. It says, so he, being the king of Aram, so he sent horses, chariots, and a great army there. They arrived at night and surrounded the city. Oh, no, that ain't good. That ain't good. You don't have to be a military expert to know that that doesn't sound good. Your city is surrounded by the enemy army, and it's a great army. Verse 15, now when the attendant of the man, okay, the man of God, so it's Elisha's attendant. So when the attendant of the man of God, Elisha, had risen early and gone out, behold, he goes out of the tent early in the morning, and he looks out, and an army with horses and chariots was surrounding the city. So his attendant said to him, so here's what the attendant says to Elisha. Alas, my master, what are we going to do? That's a pretty reasonable question, isn't it? You know, it's like, I mean, I can just imagine, see if we have some eggs. No bacon. They're Jewish. Remember that. Oh, let's see how the weather is outside. Oh, no. I mean, I could just imagine that dude was probably mortified. You see surrounding you a giant army, and you know they're coming after your guy, Elisha, who's in behind you in the tent. So the attendant runs back in. Hey, Elisha, master, what are we going to do? And then Elisha, get ready. Verse 16 says, fear not, he replied, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. What? Then Elijah prayed and said, Adonai, please open his eyes that he may see. Then Adonai opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Woo, I love that one. That's got to be one of the most awesome moments in history. I want to see a replay in heaven. I'm putting in my request right now. I do this periodically, Cassidy. What I'll do is I'll just make a mental note. You know, you wonder about things. Some things that are just mysteries, like, you know, what happened to Amelia Earhart? You know, Amelia, what happened to her? You watch a documentary and you're going, come on, man, just tell me what happened to the lady. You know, no one knows. And all I do is I just do this because, you know, you think about it. I resolve it really easy in my mind. I'm like, God, remind me when I get to heaven. I just want to know. Thank you. Now move on. I can let it go at that point. I know I'm going to know eventually. Some people have said, Rabbi, you ain't going to care at all what happened to Amelia Earhart now. I said, I know, but it relieves me of having to think about it now. I just, okay, Lord, you got this. And I believe he's going to have a list. He's got a list for me. He tracks things well. And he's going to say, okay, you want to know about this? Here's the answer here. Here's the answer here. It's going to be like, oh, wow, this is so cool. But also I have a list of things that I want to see replay of, you know, and it's like, what is it? Is it going to be on a DVD? I used to say a DVD. I don't know. It's going to be some kind of virtual reality as if I were standing beside Elisha right there. And I'm saying, look, let his eyes be open. It's like, okay, tell me what the kid sees now. It's like, voof. It's like, wow, that is so awesome. Yeah. And cue music, you know, da, 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 you know, whatever. It's some music hits. That's just how I picture it. Y'all listen. Afford me a little slack here. I'm trying my best. I'm just, you know, you get what you have with the rabbi. Okay, I'll keep going. The attendant to Elisha felt very, 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 very alone. He felt like, man, it's just me. It's just us. We are very alone. We got no shot against these people. But friends, Elisha was not alone. He was surrounded by heavenly defenders. As a side note, and this is pretty interesting, having been there many, many, many times and heard personally stories, there are similar stories in modern day Israeli wars. There are stories of large groups of Syrians surrendering to what they saw as a superior force in the Yom Kippur War when there were just a handful of IDF soldiers there. And the soldiers had no idea what was going on. They thought they were in trouble. And they said, we surrender, we're surrendering. And they came and they surrendered. And they said, why did you surrender to us? And they said, because of all the armies back behind you. And they were like, what? What armies? This has been documented. It's a remarkable thing. The point here is that, hear me, things are not always as they seem. Oftentimes, God is with you in a powerful way, even if you don't know it, and even if you don't feel it. A lot of times when we feel alone, the feeling is kind of overwhelming. Very lonely, very lonely. He gives us his word to teach us that feeling is only part of the perspective. Elisha was by himself there against a whole army, but he was not. But that's what it seemed like. That's how he, well, not how he felt, that's how his assistant felt. Felt very, very alone. I'm having to do this stuff all by myself. I'm having to handle this situation, whatever it is. Nobody can understand me. I've been by myself for so long. People feel very lonely sometimes. My wife, my husband doesn't get me at all. I just feel like we feel very alone. We are not alone. I'm not saying that it's not a very difficult situation. I'm not saying that there are not seasons in our lives where it's understandable that we would have this perspective because of the situation that we're going through. God does not illegitimize those feelings, but he wants us to understand the true picture, the big picture. You know, I'm going to say something interesting. To a certain extent, and this only kind of crested on me right now, to a certain extent, what I am doing right now is I'm trying to open your eyes like Elisha's attendant. I'm trying to open your eyes to show you things are not as they seem. That you are not alone. See, there may indeed be enemies all around you. It does not matter. It doesn't matter if there are enemies all around you. Friends, I don't know if you've noticed, let's bring this to very practical terms in today's world. I don't know if you've noticed, but it's not always so popular to be a believer anymore. Perhaps you've read about this. It's not always so popular. No, the world puts massive pressure on us all to conform to worldly standards. You all know this. And certainly to be one who supports Israel is similarly not always popular. And to live a godly life is not always popular. On social media, at school, with family members, with coworkers. Oftentimes one feels very alone if you stick to a biblical standard. Very alone. Why? Just because you're trying to do right. You don't cheat. You don't cheat. And you feel very alone. You don't swear. You don't smoke weed. A lot of people smoking weed these days. You don't gossip. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. And then oftentimes you feel very alone because you're the only one standing. You're the only one doing what's right. But you have to understand something very important. And it's the quote from Rabbi Robert for today. Hear me on this. You and God make a majority. That's all you need. You and God make a majority, period, end of sentence. You don't need to worry about what the polls say or what other people say. You only need to worry about being aligned with this book. This is what we need to worry about. Being aligned with is this book. And if you are aligned with this book, then God is with you. Period. End of sentence. You are not alone, my friends. A very, very powerful point. Psalm chapter 3. This is why King David... This is why King David, who was relentlessly pursued by King Saul, you know the stories about how much King Saul pursued King David time after time after time. He was, boy, he was in situations where he was by himself, pursued by the most powerful person in the world. King Saul, Israel was the most powerful country in the world at the time. You know that he was being pursued by King Saul. And he was oftentimes by himself. But yet, what did he say? Psalm 3, verse 7, King David said this, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people all around who have taken their stand against me. Arise, Adonai, deliver me, my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You shatter the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to Adonai. Let your blessings be upon your people, Selah." Yeah, that's whoever said woo. It's funny. I never, ever, ever do this, but in my notes, I put woo. I promise you, I could show it after. I don't know who did that, but that's exactly what I thought. I've never written woo in my notes in my whole life, but I wrote it right there, and that's when I got a woo. Wow, that's the spirit moving, ladies and gentlemen. That is some good stuff. That is some good stuff, what King David says right here. You see, King David was not oblivious to the fact that he was often alone. He was not like pretending like he wasn't alone. No, he was understanding of it, but he frequently was able to understand the big picture. The big picture. You and God make a majority. I will not be afraid of tens of thousands of people who set themselves against me all around me. Man, that is some courage. But that's somebody who knows something. You know what I'm saying? That's somebody who knows something. At the end of the day, when people decide what side of the fence they're going to be on, you only need to look for one to determine what side of the fence you're going to be in any situation in life. You only need to look for the one, capital O. You need to look only for Hashem, the Lord. Whatever side God is on, that is the side that you should be on. Even if you are literally the only one who goes to that side, everybody else goes to the other side. Everybody else. Boy, it feels difficult sometimes if everybody else is going to the other side, but you're the only one who goes to the right side. But friends, you and God make a majority. If you really understand that, it'll change how you live your life. Hebrews 13, as we prepare to conclude. Hebrews 13, I'm going to start with the second half of verse 5, which says, something you all need to internalize, beloved. For God himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that with confidence we say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What will man do to me? Oftentimes being alone is accompanied by fear. When you're all by yourself, sometimes you get afraid. But see, beloved, God, you need to take this to the bank. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, that's the big picture. That's the fuller picture of everything. That's not dismissing feelings of being by yourself. But it's giving you the bigger picture. It's God, open his eyes that he may see. See, that's my prayer for us today and for you watching and listening on the podcast. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see the true picture. And the true picture is that the creator of the universe tells you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Never. Meaning you are never really alone. Never. Never. It's very, very powerful. So our perceptions of loneliness are in truth somewhat distorted. And friends, that is the hope we have in the Lord, that no matter how alone we feel, we are truly never alone, having the creator of the universe with us. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, we read. So as you can tell, I made it past the freshman year of high school. I did make it through. It wasn't always easy, and I did make some mistakes along the way, but God never abandoned me. And I did eventually come into a new season. Always remember that if you ever feel lonely, always remember that God is with you. And it's actually also one of the important reasons to keep coming to God's house so that we can be around other people who understand and who get it and who can tell you about the story of Elisha and can give you that fuller perspective. But regardless, if we remain faithful to Him, there will eventually come a season. If we are faithful to Him, there will eventually come a season when we are forever with God in heaven, literally in His presence, because all we need is Him, and we'll never feel alone again. The title of my message is Majority. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here today who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into your heart. If you've never given your life to God, but you'd like to wherever you are, raise your hand and we'll pray together. If you've never said yes to Messiah Yeshua, wow, it is a profoundly alone feeling if you don't have God with you, but you have to trust in Him. If that is you, see, that's one of the reasons why we have atonement. Because when we sin, God turns His face from us. But because of the blood of Messiah, which covers our sins, He looks upon us. This is why Yeshua said, "Why have you forsaken me?" In that moment, as the sins of the world were put upon Him. But then, of course, His blood was shed, which covered the sins of the whole world, including yours. It's a deep, profound spiritual principle. If you're here and you've never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into your heart, but you want to, raise your hand. Thank you, Lord God, that we are not alone, Lord, because you are always with us, God. And we need never fear being alone, Lord, because as long as we're with you, Lord, we're in the majority. It doesn't matter what other people say, or other people think, or how even we perceive things, Lord. The reality is that you are always with us, Lord. And so we're never alone, God. Lord, let us remember that even in the difficult, dark times, even in the Psalm 88 moments, Lord, even in the Job moments, let us remember that you are always with us, God. And so, Lord, that will help us not feel alone and lonely anymore, God. And Lord, we know that we look forward to the time when we will forever, forever be with you. Thank you, God, for this. We bless you for it and give you thanks for your hand and your touch. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah, or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.